Well, it's Tuesday. It is 5 o'clock. That means it's time for Prep Sports Live. I am Josh Lawler. With me is Chris Greer.
Hi, Josh. It's good to be here.
Dylan is out of the studio tonight, so I'm sure he'll be listening in wherever and however he is.
And I'm here, but I'm kind of useless, so yeah, whatever.
Jay may or may not find a microphone. That's kind of the case for Jay always, but
this is not like my height, so I'll fix that though as the night goes on.
I was going to say my money is Jay finds a microphone from time to time.
Oh yeah, yeah, nothing wrong with that because I'm the same way.
I'm about to be gone for like a whole month, so yeah, I have to
soak up your microphone time. So anybody that follows the show a little bit before we get to talking about sports, well, we've always had a little bit of metal music, and wrestling fans would know that. As I get tangled up in these wires. So I thought I'd dig up some other metal from back in the day when I'd play basketball and look for something to get psyched. So a little bit of Disturbed, Indestructible, if anybody's a fan. But
excellent live band. I've actually seen them live probably three or four times. First time I saw them, they surprised me by how good they were.
Oh, I believe that. I totally believe that. They were like, I don't know, the album artwork is kind of intimidating, especially, you know, mom wants to look at your iPod, or at my age, it was mom wants to look at your iPod, and then this, like, flaming monster thing is on the screen. She's like, wait a minute, what is this?
See, Jay and Josh, that's the difference between me and you, Josh. My mom would look at my cassette tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I killed. There you go.
While we're sharing these stories, all right, my deal was, and I was in radio in high school, so I got an early start, but took my pennies, you know, and nickels that they gave me at the radio station and went down to the local Handy TV and Appliance and bought a kickin' boombox system. I still got it,
yeah,
Pioneer.
Yeah.
Blew out my parents' speakers, but they never knew that I did that because I just went and bought some Pioneer speakers for the next paycheck.
Right.
And, but I made sure the system had a remote control, because here's what would happen. My dad would come back there and walk over and give me a weird look, turn my volume down, and then leave my bedroom, in which case I would reach over, pick up my remote control, and turn it right back
up. Turn the thing back. That's so smart. No, yeah. we were, you know, headphone age, and like, once I started listening to my own music, dad made sure that we all had a set of headphones, because he didn't want to listen to that. But anyways, a little bit of a musical tangent. Quite a week for football, Chris.
It was. College and high school. Of course, we're going to deal primarily with high school here.
Yeah. Not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. Life. That's right. They get rather upset with us when we step on the college football toes. Yeah, there was.
I'm teaching Josh while we're doing this too. You'll notice this little orange light come on, like mine's on. Yeah. That's how you know which pod they're on.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, there was some big games. You know, Locust Fork, and you know, they played midfield. Pennington and Vinemont tangled. Pennington got the better of that. Fultondale kind of continued. They've been on a tear.
Yeah.
So I mean, you got Fultondale, you got midfield. They're playing Pennington coming up next. Vinemont is going to be playing Holly Pond next.
Yeah.
Which that should be a pretty good game. I'd be interested to see how that one turns out.
Vinemont, Holly Pond, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was last week when Vinemont played Pennington, right? And some of y'all were in tears because, you know, Dylan really wanted to be at that game. But
yeah, he really did.
And we really had a knockout, drag-out fight over which game to cover last week.
Yeah, there was a lot of games.
And we've had a knockout, drag-out fight since then.
So. Right.
Well, and I think we picked the best one.
I think so,
to step on that too much. We'll talk about that game some more, the last week's game of the week, some more closer to the end of the hour, because we want to get all of our coverage out of the way first.
Sure.
But yeah, the Pennington-Vinemont game, Pennington winning 20 points over Vinemont. This is the second week in a row that Vinemont has lost to Dylan's team has lost to one of our teams.
I have to give us a little bit of kudos, you know. Yeah. We broke our losing streak.
We did.
Covered three or four losing games.
Oh, we did.
Melissa was convinced that we were jinxed, and then there was last week.
We're not jinxed. It was a blowout in favor of the Coleman team. So,
well, when you look at the 3A Region 5 standings now, you know, you've got one team really at the top, and then Vinemont is not really in the running, I don't think, right now.
Yeah.
You know, with a win loss record, but they can still play spoiler because they play Holly Pond this upcoming week. Holly Pond is right on the edge.
On the bubble.
They're right on the bubble, and they've got a good, solid team. You know, but if Vinemont knocks them off, Holly Pond could be on the outside looking in. Pennington midfield, you can kind of say they've already written their own ticket, yeah. You know, to go into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Fultondale is definitely there.
Oh, easily. You know, we've not actively followed Fultondale, but Fultondale played a lot of the teams that we do cover, and Fultondale has run amok in Coleman County.
I was about to say run roughshod over pretty much everyone they've played from whatever county.
Absolutely.
You know, Holly Pond, we covered them a few weeks ago.
Yep.
They're a pretty sound team. I mean, good fundamentals. They've got good coaching. You know, the game that we saw them play Pennington got everything together.
They did.
And I think this Holly Pond team, if they can kind of do the same thing Pennington did and get all the pieces fitting just right, they could do some damage in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and in that game, the Holly Pond Pennington game that we watched, at the half, I could not tell you what Holly Pond did wrong. It was just that Pennington did everything more right.
Right.
There weren't any errors on Holly Pond's part, and I think that's something to take home. I think the same thing kind of segue into the next one over here on my list. The Hartsell Coleman game finished in Hartsell 20-7. I thought Hartsell would score way more points than that on Coleman. I think that goes to show I think that goes to show what Coleman's capable of. You know, they hold a team that big to 20 points is huge.
Well, it is huge, and I don't think you can discount the rivalry, because I went to school at Hartsell. That's where I played at. Nothing against the people of Coleman, because this is where I kind of work and hang out now, but Hartsell does not like Coleman, and vice versa, Coleman does not like Hartsell. So when you get those two teams together, there's always going to be fireworks. It's always going to be a closely fought game.
Yeah.
And I don't care if Coleman is 0-6 coming into that game. They're going to give Hartsell everything they've got. And you're talking about a Hartsell team now that is ranked 5 in the state, unless I'm mistaken. They have had a fantastic season. For Coleman to hang with that team the way they did, you have to be happy with that.
Well, and Coleman has been all of – well, any and all of their losses, they've been really close. You know, maybe things changed in the fourth quarter when they put in the second strings, both teams. But, you know, Coleman ran with every team they've played all the way up to the end of the third quarter at least. Because we watch these scores live. If somehow you found this show and don't listen to our Friday Night Live broadcast, we update you on the games that we're not necessarily covering live, only because there's so many of them. And Coleman stays that way. They stay right close, if not leading, until whatever happens.
I mean, I can remember us covering Pennington a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, there was another game that we were watching very close. Even after our game ended, I think we kept the post game going a little bit longer just so we could talk about the other games.
Yeah. Right.
Well, was it that game that finished so quick? I think we were done before 10 o'clock that night.
Yep.
I mean, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
That was quite a difference from last week's game.
Yeah. Last week, Fairview and Randolph County played. Randolph 41-12, if you weren't there for that one. That's kind of how we thought that would go. I don't think anyone picked Fairview over Randolph. Do you have the standings for whatever class Fairview's in?
Let's see. I'm looking to see if I've got it printed up right now. Okay. I do not.
While you're
Give
looking
me
for
just
that,
a second,
that's fine.
And I will.
While we're looking at that, I don't think Fairview's very high on that list. Fairview and Hansville. Fairview, Hansville, Locust Fork. I'm trying to list all the ones that I know of in that class. Fairview, Hansville, Locust Fork, and who else? Perhaps Holly Pond. Holly Pond might be in that one. Anyhow, we talked about Fultondale game. Oh, Fultondale's going to be in that list too, Chris.
Okay, actually, yes, I do have it right here in front of me. If it was a snake, it would have bit me.
Where's Fairview fall on that list?
They're not on the list, actually. They're down at the bottom. You've got, I believe Fairview is underneath Hansville.
Mm-hmm.
Hansville is 0-5.
Yikes.
You know, talking about, you know, in the region.
Yeah.
Vinemont is 1-4. Locust Fork is right there with them at 1-4. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Holly Pond at 2-3. And Holly Pond is...
Who's above Holly Pond?
Holly Pond, midfield is right above Holly Pond.
Oh, what is their record?
Their record is 4-1, and they...
Oh, gosh, yeah. So there's a huge gap between...
Right,
between
right.
everyone else. You know?
Okay, now I just pulled up Fairview.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Fairview is actually in Region 6. So looking at the Region 6, this is 5A standings. Fairview is at 2-4. They are, right now they're in fifth place in their region.
So not
so they're right behind Corner,
yeah.
Right behind West Point, Hayden, and then Mortimer Jordan is leading. You've got Springville and Curry at the bottom.
If West Point's ahead of you, because like West Point's one of those teams we talked about just a couple of minutes ago off air that started so strong and then fell off, and then you know last week they continue that by losing to Corner 14-6. I thought Corner would score more points on them than that, but it's still an L's an L for West Point.
Right, right, and. You know, West Point, right now they're in ranked third mm-hmm. in their region. Mm-hmm. You know, one more loss and they could kind of be on the outside looking in. And yeah. and this is a West Point team that I think all of us have been.
Well, I think they've only got one more. Do they have one more or two more regional games? I know there's two more weeks left, but some teams only take. Take a non-conference team for the last game. I think there's a possibility we may be looking at only one more game. So West Point may already be on the outside.
Well, right now, West Point. Okay, you have to love the internet, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah, right.
because it's showing me the schedule for 2016.
Nice.
So let's.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
we'll talk about Tarrant Cold Springs. Tarrant 34, this was last week, Tarrant 34, Cold Springs 27, if you didn't catch that one on our broadcast. Sounds like it was a really close game. Once again, not the one we picked for game of the week, so we didn't get to bring you every single detail about that one, but very close game. I remember it going back and forth long through the game we covered.
Well, and Cold Springs is a team that we have covered this year.
Yeah.
You know, they have... Cold Springs kind of impressed me a little bit. I mean, they were a well-coached ball club. You know, I was surprised, honestly, to see them fall to Tarrant. Okay, I've got, if you'd like to go back to the West Point, I've got the current West Point pulled up.
Okay.
Who's
left on their schedule?
Let's see. Left on the schedule.
Should be Hayden and somebody else.
Pulling it up right now. Okay, they've got Hayden coming up. They lost to Corner this week.
Yep.
Which, you know, that was a tough loss. They play Hayden this week, which is another region game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end against Cordova. Cordova's kind of had some issues this
okay,
year.
So they do have two region games because I think Cordova's in that.
No, they are not.
Okay, I'm thinking of a different region. We've got how many regions we cover?
You know,
right?
I'm not even sure, but... Looking at the regional rankings with West Point.
Yeah, Tommy's texted me and said only one region game left for all. So,
right.
Yeah, it looks like even though it should be a W against Hayden for West Point, they're not going to have enough games left to grab a spot. Tommy says that he thinks Good Hope and Holly Pond are the only ones looking at a chance. Obviously, Good Hope having a really good chance at playoffs.
Sure.
And Holly Pond is a maybe, he says. So, appreciate Tommy reaching out.
Yeah,
oh,
thank you, Tommy.
Let's pause for a second. If you want to comment on the things that we're talking about and maybe things that we'll talk about soon, we got a telephone number. It's 256-737-9505. And then we've got Facebook and then, you know, other... Tune in.
Right.
I didn't know if I could say that or not.
Yes.
Other apps you can find us on. So reach out to us, contact us some way, somehow. I've always got my phone, so if you've got my personal telephone number, you can text like Tommy did.
And hey, I think we're going to continue covering, you know, the rankings, what we've got this week, what happened this last week.
Yeah.
And then I think towards the end of the show, Josh, I believe we're going to talk a little bit more about that Curry game.
Yep, yep.
With good hope.
That seems to have attracted quite a bit of attention. You know what? And let's go ahead and take this opportunity to take a break, and we'll – oh, I think the phone's already ringing, or it half rang. So whoever it was, if you're listening now, call us back.
You can call us during the break, and we'll keep you on hold until we come back.
So we'll be back in just a few.
We're friendly like that. So.
This is Prep Sports Live for Josh Lawler, Chris Greer, and Jay Fuller. We'll return.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Coleman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company. Servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanAppliancerepair.com.
Scissor Salon, Highway 278 just east of the water plant, has been a proud supporter of Live 95 since the early days. Angela at Scissor Salon does her best to keep you looking your best. Haircuts, colors, perms, scissors can handle them all. And walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278. Just east of the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
And sports talk is back. Or not sports talk.
Not
wrong show.
Sports talk.
Gosh.
Way to go, Josh. You get a demerit for this week.
I do. I'm dropping a rank if anybody's paying attention. No, I listen to all of the shows on Live 95.5, as you should, because they're all wonderful.
There's some good content.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You can get some mental health help, and you can get some lifestyle and dietary help, and some suggestions on local musicians and pop culture, if I fall into that list, and a lot of cool stuff, and some old wrestling intro music.
Yeah, and some good music too.
Oh gosh, yeah. We should throw that one out there for Melissa. Like Melissa chooses good music. Anyways, trying to get back to what we were talking about before the break, which was local football, local sports.
I think we're going to move on up into the 4A Region 5.
Okay. What do we got?
You know, what we have this last week, of course, you know, we have the Good Hope Curry game, which we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. It was 27-0, Good Hope. That moves Good Hope up to 4-1 in their region, 7-1 overall.
Right.
Excellent season for Coach Scott. You know, they've done very well. I would say Good Hope's in.
Yes.
Curry is on the bubble.
Well, and a text from Tommy says that Good Hope is in. If they beat Fayette County, there's a three-way tie for first place.
Yes.
Assuming that Curry loses next week to Northside.
Well, Northside is on a five-game winning streak. They've been on a bit of a tear.
And they defeated Good Hope. It's Good Hope's only loss.
Right. Fayette County sitting on top of the rankings in Region 5, 4A. They're 5-0 in their region. They're 7-1 overall. They've run roughshod over pretty much everyone. They're on a six game win streak. Northside and Good Hope are at 4-1, right underneath them. But just like you said, Good Hope goes to Fayette County. If Good Hope can knock Fayette County off, and I'm not going to discount that possibility. Good Hope is a solid, solid little football team.
Right.
If Good Hope can go up and play their football game against Fayette County, you've got a three-way tie.
Oh, yeah. And I think that makes one of the most compelling stories in any of the games that we've been following. Because Fayette County has been this, like, untouchable god complex in that region.
Right, right. Fayette County knocked off Haleyville 33-14 this last week.
Haleyville is like a close last place. I think the last two teams, Oak Grove and someone else, is at the bottom.
Right.
They played each other last week. That's why I could remember this. The two bottom teams were like 0-7 and 0-8 on the season, but they played each other.
Yeah, Cordova and Oak Grove. Yes.
So someone had to break their streak last Friday night. So congratulations to whoever won that game.
Cordova. They won 36-22 over Oak Grove.
Sounds like it would have been an interesting game for the complete opposite reason. Like, it would have been a great game to follow just to see what kind of mess.
But
it
you
was.
Know, sometimes those games like that come down to a matter of pride.
No, and, yeah, really.
You know, and that can make for good football games too.
When
I look at this Fayette County and you start to kind of do the breakdowns, you know, you look at the points that they score and the points that they allow. Fayette County, you know, when you look at the top three teams, they've scored the least amount of points.
Right.
But what they've done is they have a stingy, stingy defense that doesn't give up a lot of points.
Right.
So the key to the game this next week for Good Hope is going to be trying to get the ball in the end zone. If they can find the key that unlocks that Fayette County defense, they can beat Fayette County.
Right. And that would make, like I said, make a great story. So you've got Northside, that's one loss in the region. That was to Fayette County. Good Hope, a loss to Northside, that's their one loss. If they beat Fayette County, you've got not only a three-way tie, but it's kind of a rock, paper, scissors match at that point.
Right, right.
And who knows who gets, I guess they'll break down scores at that point. I'm not quite sure how the system works, for the Alabama high school, system, but I guess you go to scores for the tiebreaker to see, cause you're looking at three seats that have to be met, right? In the playoff bracket or whatever, however they do that. And that could get messy.
Oh, it could.
So who does Holly Pond have? Oh, they have Vinemont this week, right?
Yes. Holly Pond is playing Vinemont this week.
So that should be a win for them. That's conference, right? So does that put them into contention?
I don't know. Okay. It's going to come down to, they're going to need some help. Fulton Dale, Pennington, and Midfield are sitting on top at 6-0 and 4-1.
Right.
You know, Holly Pond is 2-3. If they knock off Vinemont, that moves them up to 3-3. So they would have to have some help. And, you know, I don't know if they have enough time left. Pennington this upcoming week is playing Midfield. That is a regional game.
Yeah.
So, let's say Pennington beats Midfield or vice versa. That's going to drop one of them to 4-2. The other will be 5-1.
I don't think Holly Pond has two. They've got two games left. I don't think it's two regional games left.
Well, I'm pulling that up right now.
Yeah, that'll be the question. Because you're right. You start talking about something we saw with Alabama 2 or 3 years ago. I want to think it's like the 2011 season for the University of Alabama. They lost to Auburn. that year, and they needed, you know, X, Y, and Z team to lose in order to make the playoffs or you know, be eligible in the BCS system. And they did it. They did exactly that, and they won their game. And so that, even though they were a one-loss team, they wound up, you know, taking the championship, which upset a bunch of people. I love to see those scenarios elsewhere. And you know, if you're talking about, you know, if Holly Pond wins against Vinemont and then maybe against another conference team, for some reason they planned a conference team so late in the season.
They did not. They play Vinemont.
Yeah.
And then the following week, their last game is against Fairview.
And that's not a conference
game. And that is not a conference game.
So I don't know if that, because they go to 3-3 in the conference.
Right.
But even if everyone above them loses every game this week, I don't think that puts them close enough just because everyone else has four or higher wins.
Right. So, it's, you know,
bummer.
That's a shame for Holly Pond, because I have to say I like that team. They're kind of a gritty, gutsy little team that, that, you know, the game that we watched them, I mean, they played a really good game of football.
They did. Very, you know, clean.
Fundamentally sound, extremely clean. It was just a game where Pennington had all of the right bounces.
Yeah, and that's not something you're used to seeing in a high school level. Usually you show up, somebody shows up and does things fundamentally sound for a quarter or two quarters, and then, you know, while the other team is just trying to find their feet, and then maybe it flip-flops or something like that. But both of those teams were, lack of a better term, had their head on straight.
Right,
for
right.
The first half, but you know, maybe the lead had something to do with it, or maybe Holly Pond actually fell off. I don't know. I think in the locker room the lead got to them, and when they come back, emotions got the best of them. We saw some penalty flags move against Holly Pond, and then it was over.
You know, I've watched Pennington several games. That's my hometown team. So, you know, I've been to several games. I know some of the players on the team, and that was by far the best game they had played up to that point that I saw.
Right.
Good, solid play from all facets of the game. And it was just a game where Holly Pond could not catch a break.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes that's the difference between going to the playoffs and not.
Yep. Yep. So we've talked about Holly Pond. We talked about Good Hope. Good Hope, obviously our playoff following team. Really hoping that they do well, and I think under Coach Scott they will. I've seen a lot of great things from Good Hope. We've covered them several times this season. And before we segue into our next segment, telephone number 256-737-9505.
I'd like to review a little bit about just what all we've covered this year. I know we've been to Coleman. I know we've been to West Point. I know we've been to Holly Pond.
Mm-hmm. We've been to Cold Springs.
Have we done Vinemont yet?
We did cover a Vinemont game.
That's what
we
I was
haven't
thinking.
Been to Vinemont.
Right. So I don't think we've been to Fairview, although I know we have in years past. I know we've done two Good Hope games.
Two Good Hope games, three West Point games.
Yeah, three West Point.
No Hansford games.
And I want to say we've done two Coleman games. Yes, although one of them we had technical difficulties, and so although we were there.
Oh, yes.
We still covered it. It just wasn't really on the air. That was Birmingham
somewhere.
Where was that?
Was it Northport, Chris?
The Coleman game that we covered down.
That was Hueytown.
Yeah. Hueytown, okay. And Coleman. Yep. Didn't we cover? Oh, you did cover a Fairview game. It was Fairview West Point.
Yes. Okay.
So we got Fairview in there.
All right. Yeah.
The only team that struggled from us.
I think that was the season opener, and ironically, the last time I saw Coleman today, Tim Collins.
He was there. And Branding Iron Bowl.
Yep. So I wanted to give a little background, because I know we have a lot of new listeners tonight.
Yep.
Just, you know, a little bit about what we do here at community-based Coleman Community Radio. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
And
as Josh said, if you want to dial in, feel free, 256-737-9505.
And then Facebook Live as well. I have I have the comment section pulled up right back here. Chris is waving at some folks, so...
Yeah, there's quite a few people tuning in on Facebook Live,
we're ready to field all of that.
Are we ready to talk about the elephant in the room?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a subject. As I shrug my shoulders,
I am in agreement, Chris. We need a bigger studio. So that's the elephant in the room right now, is we don't have enough room.
Right.
So Yeah.
Any
contractors listening, give us a call.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Before we go any further, there's something that I would like to say personally, and this is coming from me, Christopher Greer. This is not coming from 95.5. There's a young man on the Curry High School football team that I owe an apology to, and his name is Luke Smith. He's number 3. He was a quarterback from the Curry Yellow Jackets. Luke played – he played a very hard game, and I will say this about him. He played a clean game. I did not – we're going to get into a lot of the things that went on in that game here in a few minutes, but – I did not see him lower himself to the level of some other people on that field that night. And I wrote a Facebook post on my personal Facebook after the game. I was disgusted. I was angry. There was a lot of emotions that I was feeling. And in that post, I did not name him by name. But I said something in a way that his identity became known. And there's no excuse for me doing that. I am a grown-up. I am a grown man. And I never want to drag down a kid. And we're talking about 16 to 17-year-old kids. That's what they are. You know, I should never have posted it the way that I did, to where it brought his identity into that. I regret that. I will be reaching out to him privately after this show to say the same things that I'm saying now. There's no excuse, but I am sorry for what happened.
And I hope
Luke Smith will accept that apology, and if he doesn't, that's okay.
And that's I think that's good of you, Chris, way to step up and take and be a
we kind of want to have your back, because honestly, I mean, several of us were there at the game too, and you know, after, you know, reading some of what you posted and then going back, especially because we, after we finish a broadcast, we like to re-air the broadcast, and you know, that's not a thing that most radio stations do, but we do that for quality. I mean, when we're coming back into the coverage area, you know, we want to hear how it mixes, how it sounds, you know, what we need to change and improve. And, you know, we kind of did the same thing over the weekend with a Facebook Live broadcast. And as we re-listened to parts of that, there was a distinct difference in how we were reacting to things in the first quarter versus the second, third, and fourth quarters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, something changed. And it doesn't take a lot of imagination to figure out what. A lot of it, I think, was desperation. I mean, this was a very hard-fought game. There was a lot on the line on this particular game. And, I mean, I can remember, and honestly, I do not remember how this went down. That's why I'm asking this question, to kind of dive into the conversation.
Okay.
I mean, I can remember some of us screaming, oh, my gosh, they are twisting the legs of the players.
Yes.
I saw in some of your comments and some of the comments that were made, both teams were accused of doing that. Who did we see do it first? Does anyone remember?
It was Curry.
I did not see Good Hope do that
ever
at all. And before I say that, let me also add this to that.
Sure.
I'm not saying that Good Hope was doe-eyed innocence. There were plenty of late hit calls against Good Hope. I'm not making excuses for them at all. When you play the game of football, football is a game of controlled violence, okay? and that's just the truth.
Yeah.
You try to break the will of the person who lines up across from you. You want to hit them so hard that they don't want to come back to play against you anymore. And if you can do that, then you've won. And there's a difference between trying to hurt a person and trying to injure.
So we have a comment coming in now that said it started with the guys that were trying to hurt Bailey Quick.
Well, that was the first time that I saw it. Bailey Quick, to those of you who might not know, is the quarterback for Good Hope. He played an excellent football game.
Yep.
And
fortunate enough, was able to return.
He was.
Yep.
He was. The first time that I saw that was with Bailey Quick, and he had to come out of the game.
And to our defense,
for a while,
it was, from where we were at in the press box, it was right in front of us.
Oh, it was obvious
yeah.
to us because we were looking directly at it.
We didn't come up with these terms and these events based on what someone else has told us. You know,
no.
That broadcast that you heard, the only information we got is what we saw on the field.
Yeah, and I can remember, I'm mostly the tech guy behind the scenes. I'm not really watching the game. I'm trying to make sure everything's working the way it's supposed to be, but I can remember looking up a time or two, especially after y'all started calling what you were seeing.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away. And my history, I'm a band guy. I attended football games and I was, paying attention to my band members, and every now and then if the football team scored, hey, great, But I was shocked, just as y'all were, probably more so because I don't watch as much football as y'all do. And I saw it with my own eyes and I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, and I grew up in Blount County, which is very, very similar.
Turn me off in there, Chris.
Yeah, I'm about to say
I did. Sorry about
Jay's
that.
Voice twice. Blount County is very similar to the way Coleman County is, and that kind of behavior is just abnormal, right? You never see that in any of the football games.
Well,
and I do want to give everybody about a 5-minute warning. We're going to take a break in about 5 minutes, and if you want to give us a call and give us your opinion, we welcome that. 256-737-9505. We'll open the lines during the breaks, and we'll dedicate the remainder of the hour to
you. And if you have a comment, you can also comment on the Facebook live feed.
Yep.
We'll talk about your comments. Getting back to what you guys just said, I played this sport from the time I was 8 years old until my second year of college. I have been either a fan, player, or coach of football basically my entire life from the time I was 8 years old. I have never seen a game anywhere close to that bad so far as dirty plays. And I've been involved in games that devolve into bench-clearing fights.
Yeah, right.
And
which is something we expected to see.
Yes, it was.
That was kind of the conversation at the end of the game. A lot of us were shocked that Good Hope left the field. You don't do that, as I recall.
Right.
But
honestly, Jay, I wasn't shocked. And I was kind of expecting the Coach Scott to take his players off the field.
As we went into the discussion on it and, kind of hypothesized what might happen, I can see why.
Sure.
We did it that way.
I've had a lot of conversations this week because what I said on Facebook has drawn a lot of attention, good and bad.
Right.
And, to the people who disagree with me, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion and I will always listen to it. And I will always give you the respect of listening and hearing what you have to say. But, I've had people tell me, well, the Good Hope players were terrible. They wouldn't even shake hands. And what I told them in those private conversations, I'm going to say again now, my opinion, and it's just my opinion, had the Good Hope players gone out onto the field, there would have been a fight. And
all right, Chris, not to cut you off, let's go ahead and take a break. I've got to answer that phone call, and then we'll put it on air when we return. This is Prep Sports Live.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better. Whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Coleman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about.
Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617. 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage, in MLS number 338177, Equal Housing Lender. Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Cullman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Cullman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
Welcome back to Prep Sports Live. Josh, I think you had the mic up a little bit too loud. That's all good, though.
Well, there was a difference between
you and
me. Yeah, microphone operators.
Josh got a little nervous, so he turned things over to me. I have taken the reins of the radio station. We are going to take some phone calls now. Again, that number, 256-737-9505. We are going to limit the phone calls to 3 minutes or less, and we have 15 minutes to go. First up is Emily, and you want to say something?
There's only a space for one. So
yeah, that's true. We'll figure that out.
Well, if you get a busy signal, keep trying.
Yeah, right. Someone's talking. Yeah, they won't get a busy signal. Just ring.
Okay.
Okay. Emily, you're on.
Hey, I would like to thank you guys for taking my call.
Thank you for calling us, Emily.
Okay. I was at the game, the Curry Good Hope game. Luke Smith happens to be my cousin. I've talked to Chris a couple of times on Facebook and stuff.
Okay.
I do appreciate him trying to apologize. Now, one thing I would like to say is, since Luke was included in that post and it kind of went viral in the communities around, I'm not saying, you know, statewide, but in the communities we know, the kid, he's one of the most incredible kids there is that I know, and he has not been able to sleep thinking about what has been said about him and trying to clear his name from the situation that was on Facebook. I would like to say, you know, I'm from Addison, so I want Luke to do the best he can and do well in football, but I really can see things objectively. I was at the game, and there are a couple of things you guys may not know about that happened in the just opening minutes of the game on the Good Hope side. I don't want to get into accusations and stuff, but it ended up intensifying what had happened, and the coach had went to one of the officials, and the officials just kind of, you know, ignored it. One of the boys from Curry, not too long after that, ends up sustaining a broken nose and has a fracture in the jaw. There was another kid from Curry that ended up having his cornea torn. The physical therapist that was on Curry's side was basically told by one of the officials that she needed to know her place because she had said something to them about seeing what had happened to the player.
Wow.
With her own eyes. And anyway, the long and short of it I'm trying to say is I feel like both sides did things wrong, and sure, I feel like we all just have to move forward from this. But to kind of give Curry Boy the label of, you know, troublemakers, or this was their intention at the beginning of the game, that's not the case. Curry has not had a winning season in 20 years. They can handle a loss if given it fairly.
Right.
All season long, this has not been an issue. I've went to all of their games. There may have been some personal fouls, yes. I know that. During every game, there can be some dirty plays.
Right.
But if you try and use the comments like, this is a taught behavior and things like that, that would be consistent all throughout the year. And that's not the case. I'll say, you know, no coaching staff is perfect, but they have done the best they can with these kids, taking them from losing seasons all these years to actually possibly having a winning season this year. I mean, that's a big feat for people who haven't had a win in many, many years.
Right.
So that all being said, you know, I hate that this happened, and I hope that both teams can sit back and just look at all of the things that happened during the game, review the films, and you know, call out wrong where things were wrong.
Sure. Emily, you actually answered my only question that I had, really. Is, I mean, you've been to some Curry games before. They didn't have anything like this really happen prior to this week, I assume.
Absolutely not. No, not at all. Of course, like I said, I can't see every play from being there, you know, in the stadium. I'm sure there's wrong. Like I mentioned to Chris, there were some players from Curry that had that been my child, absolutely I would have benched them myself. They wouldn't be playing next week because of their behavior.
Okay. Emily, we appreciate your call, but we moved on for the 3 minutes.
Okay,
thanks
for
your call.
Thank you,
Emily.
If somebody wants to jump in, the line's open again, 256-737-9505. And while we wait for the phone to ring.
Chris, I know you'll have a lot to say about this. So
Go ahead.
So let me get my part in first. I'm not, and the phone rings again. I'm not from either one of those towns. I'm from Blount County.
Right.
I have no dog in the race. Being said,
neither do I.
All the things that she lists and maybe Good Hope did do some stuff that we didn't see or before game or whatever it is. There is no reason to behave that way. Someone does. Okay, we're all taught the turn the other cheek stuff, right? So if they're going to treat you poorly, you don't drop to that level. You know, you go, and once again, it's the he started it first kind of thing. Terrible argument.
Guys, this is going to be Brett Elmore. He's with a radio station that was in the booth next to us.
Okay.
Brett, you're on with us, Prep Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you, Brett?
Doing well. Enjoying your show tonight and enjoying 95.5 there and Coleman. I've heard a lot of good things about you guys.
Thank you very much.
Just wanted to call in. I know our sister station there was in the booth. I was not. Our other station, I'm in the studio doing our scoreboard show and producing Jasper football. And, of course, you know the rivalry between Jasper and Coleman.
Legendary.
We kind of lived through that a few years ago when the incident, I'll call it. But, you know, I saw this post go viral locally, and I heard some, you know, both sides of the story, and I haven't seen any video or anything like that of the ball game. But what I just wanted to call in and say is, I talked to Coach Smith there at Curry just about every week on our school board show, and it surprises me that something like this has happened because it. Coach Smith, I followed his career when he was a head coach at Lynn up in Winston County, had a lot of success there. He moved over to Curry, and Curry, I'm a graduate of Curry High School. I graduated in 2001 there, and I can't remember the last time they had this amount of success, you know, on the football field. But this guy runs a class program and is a class act, and it just disturbs me that we're talking about something like this between two quality programs. I know football is football. It's a hard-fought game, and emotions, they get high.
Sure.
We see it all the time. But I just want to say, you know, Coach Smith, now, I did try to call Coach Smith during our game day final broadcast after the games on Friday, and this was the first week that he did not talk to me.
Hmm.
Which
that might be my fault there, Brett.
Do what now?
I said that might be my fault.
Well, I don't know. I you know, it just surprised me. I haven't talked to Coach Smith this week yet, I think it'll be best for both teams to put it behind them.
I agree.
And both teams are playoff bound. Bless Curry's heart that they've sewn up, it looks like, the fourth place seed in the region. But now they got to go face North Jackson, who's the top scoring team in all classifications in the state in the first round of the playoffs. So,
wow.
You know, they're averaging 65 points a game. And beating everyone unmercifully, but at least they made the playoffs this year. But congratulations to Curry and congratulations to Good Hope. They've got a great team this year, and enjoy your show. I know we're at about the 3-minute mark here, but enjoying your program here. And
thank you.
And
thanks for tuning in, Brett.
To the rest of the show.
Hey. Feel free to give us a call anytime.
So. Yeah, and we've got we've got that
thanks,
Facebook.
Guys.
Go ahead.
Bye-bye.
We've got that Facebook Live video out there if anybody, and I know the video is not necessarily the greatest of quality. We're working on that, but.
Got time for a few more calls, 256-737-9505, and if you're on Facebook, you can type as well, and we'll communicate your message.
While Jay is screening that call, I'd like to kind of go back to some things that Emily said. So far as the injuries to the Curry players, I can't comment on that because I didn't see it.
No.
And just like she said, sitting in the stands, you can only comment on the things that you see.
Yeah.
And it's the same for us. Some of the things that we commented on, Josh, we commented on these things because they happened directly in front of us.
Yes. Most of the first quarter was right there between the 40-yard line.
Right. It was just back and forth. Yeah. I do agree with her. Some of the officiating, had no idea what they were doing.
And we, in that second quarter, we had to sit there for probably 10, 15 minutes just waiting on a call, waiting for plays to start back up again. But once again, not a reason for behaving that way. If Good Hope treated them that way, not a reason for behaving that way.
No, and, you know, getting back to what Mr. Elmore said about Coach Smith, you know, at Curry, I think what was disappointing to me was the coaches did not get this under control.
Yeah.
You know, when you see blatant cheap shots, I don't care who does it. I don't care which team does it. There's never a reason for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's never going to be a reason to go out and try to injure somebody.
No, absolutely.
You know,
and that should be removed from the game.
Sure. Yep. There's no place for that in this sport. These kids are trying to better themselves. You know what? Kudos to Coach Smith for what he's done down at Curry.
Yep.
You know, I'm happy for him. He's building something down there that's been missing for a long time.
So we were going to try to, he mentioned something that got my brain moving. He said that Curry has a chance. We did not know off air before the show started whether or not the state championship was top three teams or top four teams. From his words, it sounds like Curry's in it because maybe top four teams. So this game is not as heated, I'm thinking, as, you know, that also removes a reasoning behind all of the emotion. Now, I never thought the coaches taught this behavior.
No.
thought it was the emotions of the players got the better of them, probably on both sides.
I think it was a combination of the emotions of the players coupled with the referees, especially during the second quarter, kind of letting the game get away from them.
Yeah. Now, that being said, there's a discipline that has to be taught to keep your head through this.
I remember,
you know, when I played basketball, if I lost my cool to a referee, that was it. Josh sat on the bench the rest of the game. Right? And that was the referees doing and coaches doing.
I would like to say something.
Short on time.
And to name some young men by name, and I spoke to the mother of one of these kids for Good Hope. A lot of times the big guys don't get love. The offensive and defensive linemen. Josh, you and I witnessed something towards the end of that game.
Yeah.
And the play was a point after attempt. A Curry player came off the ball and punched the Good Hope player, knocking him down.
Yep.
And when he did, he went to attack that player to swing again. He had his hand drawn back in a fist. And the Good Hope offensive line got in between the two of them with their backs to the Curry player and their hands in the air.
Yeah.
And they absorbed several punches, protecting the guy who had just gotten hit with their own bodies. And the names of those young men were Jackson Hancock, Sam Jones, Trevor Pace, Dawson Putman, and Dawson Spiegel.
See, I didn't see that. That's crazy.
You know, to those boys who were in on that play, you know, good on you. That just talking about that play gives me chills. And if you're a family member of one of those young men, you should be very proud of what they did.
Well, as we wrap up tonight's show, we do want to thank everyone for participating. There was one more comment that came into Facebook that said, the game was stopped twice due to Curry's head coach's behavior. Don't know how to verify that, but that comment did come out. Let's recap real quick again. What's left in the season? Who's heading to the playoffs, and who do they have to win? Or is it double elimination? What's going on?
I think we said that Good Hope's in it one way or another.
Looks like Holly Pond's going to get in.
If it's top four, that may exactly put Holly Pond in it. So good news for both of those teams in Coleman County. The rest of them looking to maybe take some
consolation prizes.
Yeah, yep. Take some heat away from other teams. But all right. Thanks for joining us.
Y'all stay tuned. We've got Understanding the Law coming up next with Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. And then if you're into a star anything, stay tuned an hour after that for the greatest trivia contest in the universe. Y'all, thanks for listening. The news from the Alabama Radio Network is coming up next.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. Tuscaloosa mayor and Democratic candidate for Governor Walt Maddox says Governor Kay Ivey can disprove allegations that a member of her security detail was demoted because he reported to a superior that she was hospitalized in April 2015 with what was described as mini strokes. He says she can disprove or confirm the claims by releasing information.
If all of that is true, then Alabamians deserve to know, and Alabamians do not deserve that type of leadership.
Governor Ivey's campaign denied the allegations and released a statement which reads in part, apparently Walt Maddox isn't just a liberal, he's a lying liberal. Just 2 weeks from Election Day, there's no longer a Democratic nomination.